Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walls. The second season of Savor Dakota is underway on SDPB television. You can see a new episode tomorrow, February 1st, 8:30 Central, 7:30 Mountain. Joining us now to talk about it, chef and host MJ Adams is with us from the Black Hills Bureau. Chef Adams, welcome.
Thanks.
And joining us as well, SDPB producer Melissa Hammersma. Melissa, thanks so much for being here.
I'm always happy to join you, Lori.
All right. What's for lunch? Who's this is where we should start right now. Melissa, let's start with you and tell me about season two of first. Tell me about season one and how it was really, you know, how did listeners respond, watchers, viewers, how did people respond to the launching of Savor Dakota?
We've had a lot of really positive feedback. In season one, we organized the episodes according to season and what you might be enjoying at different times of the year. Social media has been wonderful. People have the opportunity to reflect on dishes that they may have enjoyed growing up or the last time that they've had an item. You know, fry bread last season was really popular as people reflected on where they've had the best dish. And we've experienced a lot of conversation on our Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter, and that's been really fun to follow along. And we've tried to add more of that as we've included extra segments from the shows.
And Melissa, I'm not a big foodie, and since Savor Dakota has come along, I'm trying far more things that I'm a little embarrassed to admit I've never tried before. For example, I had never had fry bread. And this year I tried it for the first time. So it's Chef Adams, let's talk about that a little bit, about this sense of place and how food plays into it. You know, where you look around and you say there are certain things that sort of speak to a community or speak to who we are as a people that you really ought to go out and try.
Yeah, I think that, you know, South Dakota is such a, you know, big state, and you know, certainly through the show, you know, driving back and forth, and Melissa and I both have certainly tried to, you know, see what's out there and in different parts of, you know, East River and West River, and especially I think now with agritourism, you know, kind of popping up, it's people do come to South Dakota that visit and they want to try buffalo or pheasant or and have something local.
Yeah, and I'm going to make another confession. I probably shouldn't even say these things. I've never tried pheasant either, and pheasant is coming up, pheasant salad. MJ, tell me a little bit about where you go for this upcoming episode of Savor Dakota, and let's start with the pheasants.
Well, I'm embarrassed, you know, because some of these places I have never visited, and I spent time as a child growing up in Mitchell, but I went to Aberdeen, and what a wonderful place. Everybody was so hospitable. And the gentleman that we visited with, and his name doesn't come to Casey, yes, thanks. He works for the Chamber of Commerce, and he gave us a tour, you know, of the facility where, you know, they kind of, I think it's the Elks Lodge where they go to and make the sandwich, but it just, you know, going out to the airport and meeting people, and it really just gives you a sense of how special it is to live in a place like South Dakota. And
and Melissa, the history of pheasant sandwiches in Aberdeen, quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's a really special opportunity. Aberdeen has always been a pretty hospitable destination. Back in the 40s, you know, rail service was really popular, and so anybody going crossing the country east to west often, you know, Aberdeen was one of their crossing junctions, and that was the case as troops made their way to either coast during World War II. And so the community took it upon themselves to start the pheasant canteen. They made use of items that they had available, and pheasant was readily available, and they made pheasant salad sandwiches and served the troops. And the Aberdeen Convention and Visitors Bureau has been going out to the airport to greet hunters as they come in for the season each year. And Casey said that about 7 years ago, they decided to reincorporate the pheasant salad sandwich. And so that's something that they've been doing to reach out to people coming into the area and visiting the community and offering up a treat using the game that they might be fortunate enough to harvest themselves. So,
yeah. MJ, you got the recipe for pheasant salad sandwich, or a recipe.
I did, and I think one of the things that Melissa really wanted to show was that, you know, people think, oh, salad is just lettuce, but here's something pheasant salad that it just doesn't have to be greens. It could be grains. It could be meat. But I did get the recipe, so.
And it's on our blog.
Yes.
Yeah, and Melissa, tell us about that, of how you sort of constructed the online presence. So not only can we get inspired by MJ's conversations and by the places that SDPB takes you, but also you can bring it right home to your own kitchen.
Right. Well, everybody that we've visited with is so passionate about the item that they produce or the dish that they serve, and it's more content than we can share in a half an hour show. And so we're really lucky to have an online presence where we can help swap recipes and share dishes that people are making with, you know, pheasant, or share salad dressings that may be enjoyed on the lettuce greens that you're growing in your garden. Like MJ visited with Mary Tarkowski in Rapid City, and so they put together a salad dressing, and we could share that online. The Wagner School shares their own recipe for ranch dressing as well. And so it's nice to have an extra venue where you can go and dive into into foodie culture in South Dakota even further.
Right. And Chef Adams, tell me about Wagner, and then let's talk about making your own dressing. But let's start with the kids in Wagner.
Well, Melissa had been telling me about Wagner, and I was like, wow, because I've always, you know, felt that the school lunch program is really lacking in our state. And when I went there, I was just, like, blown away. They had a hydroponic system, and they were growing a banana tree, and the kids had made banana bread. They do 1,100 kids a day, which is really a lot of food. But, I mean, it was just amazing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I mean, I would like to see this 10 years from now in every school across the state.
And, you know, most people think salad dressing, it's a pretty easy thing to go out and buy a bottle of. So, what's the value of really sitting down, and it doesn't take much time, really, when you look at the recipe, but what's the value of sitting down and saying, you know what, it's worth it to dress the greens with something fresh?
Well, and I think with Mary, I was just amazed at her garden. It's just gorgeous. And lettuce is really very light. It has just, you know, different maybe from iceberg. You know, she had bib lettuce, or there's red leaf. But I think salad dressing, you know, even with the restaurant, I remember, like, people were like, well, where's ranch or Thousand Island? And it just kind of, you lose the flavor of the lettuce because it's just so heavy. And and in the show, we wanted to show, like, here's hazelnut oil, here's walnut oil, something different besides olive oil, and also, just something that you could do at home and maybe with your family. So something just a little bit different.
Melissa, tell us a little more. Tell us a little bit more about Wagner and some of the things that surprised you there on your visit.
Well, we first visited Wagner last February. They have a geodesic dome that's kind of an oasis in the winter, as we're all kind of, dreaming about planting our own gardens. But they have a really wonderful program. Linda Foose, the school superintendent, began as a science teacher, and she was trying to create a way to connect the students with the food that they ate and to learn, like, where food came from. And so they visited a farm and saw where the food, you know, that there were potatoes that grew in the garden, grew in the ground. So from there, they created a garden, a school garden, and they started experimenting with aquaponic systems. So in their science classrooms, they have fish tanks that feed a garden bed, and so then they're able to grow greens using a grow light that way. And Then they went to Red Cloud School, who had, they have a geodesic dome of their own, so a greenhouse. And middle school students at that time decided that they wanted to try and do that and recreate that in their own school. And so those students went before the school board and went to the community and worked to try and generate funds to make this possible. And so it was a really great hands-on experience for those kids, both, you know, from science to food, culinary experience, you know, making things from the food that they were growing, but mm-hmm. then also from a technical standpoint that they used, they got their hands dirty and built this. And so it's fascinating to see the opportunities, you know, from having a garden, the things that they're learning and the opportunities for their science programs. So a lot of the classes have projects that they have going in this geodesic dome that they can work on year round. When I visited there, the Spanish class had a garden plot so they could grow produce and learn the Spanish words for those items. And and they spend a lot of time analyzing the soil and figuring out what they need best. So it also provides a lot of problem-solving opportunities. And, you know, I really, really appreciated seeing how they've made use of that.
Yeah, interesting. MJ, what surprises you still as you travel around and meet new people and ask them questions? You know, a lot of it's in your territory and you know, making familiar connections. But what sort of hits you by surprise?
I think, well, what the funny thing is, I see people and they go, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know you still lived here." And I went, "Aha, you're not watching public television and obviously you're not giving. Okay, that needs to change." But, it, you know, it's, I guess, you know, for so many years, you know, when I ran the restaurant for 15 years, I was just inside and, you know, working all the time. And, you know, you just, your world was so small. And definitely through the show, I've been able to, you know, explore South Dakota and, you know, just, And certainly with Melissa's research, you know, finding out, you know, like, you know, in one of the shows, will someone is making their own honey, through you know, Lakota Kids Project, and I mean, and just people that are willing to just go out on a limb and try something, and it's, you know, it's just, it just makes me appreciate more and more living here in South Dakota.
Yeah. And Melissa, we don't have a ton of meetings at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, but when we do and you and I are in a meeting together, usually you're working on something like this. And when you talk, it always, my thought is always, Savor Dakota makes me happy. It's just a great project. So thank you so much for all the work that you've been doing on it. We appreciate you joining us today and we appreciate your voice with this show.
Well, I've had a lot of fun and I hope everybody enjoys learning more about salads tomorrow night. And coming up in March, we'll dive into entrees. And in April, we'll wrap it up with desserts.
Nice. You can tune in tomorrow, February 1st, 8:30 Central, 7:30 Mountain, SDPB-TV. Chef Adams, thanks for being here.
No, thanks for having me.
Melissa, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you.
See you next time.